go and spread the love, because you never know what's going to happen, and life can deal some really shitty quick cards that can get you before you realize.
Whether it's the clothes you wear to work or a metaphor for putting up a front, we all wear a uniform. But often there's a lot going on behind the uniform, and many of us are reluctant to express how we are really feeling.
Each week on Behind the Uniform, Dr. Izzy Smith and Captain Hugo Tovey will be joined by a special guest as they talk openly and honestly about their experiences with mental health. Nothing will be off limits, so prepare yourself for tears, laughter and goosebumps.
Hello and welcome back to episode 10 of Behind the Uniform podcast. 10 episodes have flown by, and the guest we have today, we thought, will tie in nicely with the fact that this is a Movember podcast. We are actively in the Movember campaign, and so we're very excited to speak to some Movember royalty. But Izzy, welcome back, and how have you been?
Pretty good. Pretty busy month for both you and I, but also my favourite month of the year. So yeah, I'm good and excited, like you said, for the Movember royalty, who I was definitely fangirling, starstruck when I first met.
Well, exactly. We're kind of racking our brains. We're like, we've got to get someone on very much involved with Movember, talk about Movember, who should we get? And a few names popped up, but then we thought, well, who else should we get? None other than the founder of Movember back in 2003. His name is Travis Garoni. He's also the global creative director as well as founder. And it's just a fascinating story that we're about to delve right into about how this concept 17 years ago has sort of transformed into over $1 billion raised, over 6 million Mo Bros and Mo Sisters in over 25 different countries around the world. And it's this massive phenomenon that started with you, Travis, and a couple of mates and a couple of beers, I believe. But welcome, Trav, to Behind the Uniform podcast.
Guys, thanks for having me. I know it's a good time of year when I'm hanging out with you two, that's for sure.
I think there was a few more cocktails last time, Trav, when I saw you.
Yeah, I think pretty sure you ran across the dance floor and launched at me, and I was, you know, we just went into some some kind of dance, right?
So I'm glad you're not here in person. I'd be going a bit red.
Oh, she is going quite red there, Trav. And for those listening, Izzy has been fortunate enough to meet Trav a few times. I haven't had that honour, Trav, but when we chat on the phone the other day, we're very much looking forward to that first cold beer together.
Yeah, it's been a while, mate. It's been a few years in the making, and I know we've missed each other and whatnot. So when you gave me the call to see if I'd do this today, I was absolutely delighted and honoured, because both of you, you know, what you guys do in your spare time or your working time is extremely admirable. And, you know, Australia's lucky to have people like you in it, that's for sure.
Thanks, Trav.
Now, Trav, before we get into the story of Movember and how it started, we have a question that we ask all of our guests. Without thinking too much into it, can you tell us what you're doing when you're at your most happy or happiest?
Trav did ask us. He said, "No curveballs, please." But we deliberately don't like playing that question, because it is an interesting one. But when you're picturing who you're with or what you're doing, when you know what this is, happy Trav, I'm just in a happy place. I'm a happy man. What typically would you be doing, or who would you be with?
I'm in nature, right? I'm addicted to nature. The more that I can surround myself with nature, you know, the better. And you know, to be brutally honest, I think I get along and enjoy the company of trees more than humans sometimes, you know. So if I'm in the mountains, then I'm absolutely at peace. And, you know, and I'm motivated, right? Inspiration, motivation kind of fuel each other. And if I'm in nature and with my beautiful wife, you know, obviously, then I'm in a really, really good place. And it's probably the hard thing, right? I'm stuck in Melbourne at the moment, and you know, getting ready to re-immerse myself, and I'm heading straight for the hills, to be honest.
Can you tell us about, obviously you started Movember and so many people know about Movember, but tell us about how it started, where it was, what your thoughts were.
I mean, it was a chance conversation, and it was I bumped into a really good mate of mine after many, many years of at all, because I was abroad, Canada and Alaska and all this kind of stuff, and I bumped into a good mate of mine called Lucky, Luke Slattery, and we were sort of had made a sort of a bit of a pact to sort of catch up sort of once a week and go skateboarding, actually. And because we lived very close, same street by another, you know, lucky, happy accident. And yeah, the kind of the conversation one day was just jumping around. And, you know, I was heavily immersed into the world of skateboarding and action sports is probably a good way to put it. Apparel, rag trade. And I had this, a guy from Movember tapped me on the shoulder, you know, many years just into Movember and said, you know, the best thing about you, mate, you can communicate with men, you know. And I think I kind of put that down to the fact that I was just dealing with these very stubborn people in, you know, people that don't want to be marketed to, people don't want to be sold product. But when you're working with, you know, these guys are athletes, right? And the professional equipment is jeans and sneakers. Then, you know, I got to get to these kids. So we were talking about this, and there was another chance thing where I had been sort of summons to go and work for a breast cancer organization here in Melbourne. And I was working with the ACTF, the Australian Children's Television Foundation, as a client. It was kind of like a cartoon network. And the chair, very, very inspiring, you know, woman at the time who had been through the ringer of the boys' clubs of life, you know. So I was kind of besotted by what this lady had achieved and who she was and what she was doing. And she had a breast cancer network. She's like, right, I need your help. She said to me, she goes, you never find change from within. You've got to go outside or else it's just going to be going round and round. And it's something that's stuck with me, almost 20 years later. And the numbers, Izzy, you know better than anyone, you know, that the way that you guys talk about your health and look after yourselves and the ease of having super tough conversations and about really kind of non-attractive subjects, right? So I was just like besotted going, why don't we do how come we're not like these guys, you know? Can we just be this much of the women in our lives?
Trav, we as in men in general, you're getting
men in general. Yeah, men in general. And then you've kind of got your dads and your uncle figures in the corner going, she'll be right, mate. She'll be right. Don't worry about it. Yeah. She'll be right.
She'll be right attitude. And so this was sort of back in 2003, if people were listening, 17 years ago. And I think it has come a long way. But even back then,
it has.
I was only, what have I been? 91, 12, 12, 13.
Oh, stop.
So I was still in my school days, school days, Trav, when you were kind of having these thought process. But even back then, it probably was even, I can imagine, worse than it is now. And so that was kind of that's what stemmed you to creating something, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, it was, again, it was just like, hey, there's nothing for us. And maybe nothing's a bit harsh, but it just didn't seem to be anything kind of presenting itself for us to do that was super fun. And, you know, I stumbled across a TV commercial for breast cancer, prostate cancer, and at the Epworth Hospital here in Melbourne. And the numbers that they sort of flashed up on the screen were alarming. They were similar. They weren't as much, but they were similar to breast cancer with Australian women. And I was like, if I'm dealing with breast cancer, so serious, the world's focused on it, these numbers are just as bad. What the hell is going on? So that was really how I rang the Epworth Hospital. I said, this is what I'm doing. I need your logo. All I wanted was a logo to legitimize an email I was about to send saying, we're about to raise money for your hospital. And they hung up on me. No, I won't.
So I'm drawing getting the picture for people listening. So it was in 2003, you're working in breast cancer and you realize there was a gap in the market for something, you know, equivalent in men's health. And you're completely right. The same amount of men die from prostate cancer as they do from breast cancer. Mm. And it's interesting in the charity and NGO space, 70% of the staff are women, which means, you know, they're better at targeting and making, you know, health promotions that appeal to women. And I think that is why there's a bit of a gap in the market. So, Trav, you saw there was a gap in the market. How did the idea of moustaches and that was how you were going to raise awareness and raise money come about?
Well, we had, during this conversation, you know, they jumped around with Luke and between Lucky and I and between for business and, you know, fashion trends, skateboarding, you know, breast cancer. I was running an agency. I'd started, founded an agency with some mates, and it was very much focused on youth marketing and, you know, action sports, because it's just what we loved. And we kind of considered everything we did was our, we were the target audience with all of my clients. So the breast cancer was really left field for us. I got in a lot of trouble at that organization purely because all the creative things that I was trying to push within them, it's like, you can't do that. That's offensive. Oh, don't change our logo to black. That means we've died, you know? And I was like, cheapers. All right. I'm kind of felt a little bit shackled, to be honest. So when I was telling this to Luke, I was going, you know, man, like if we had our time to do something for men that is fun, that is, you know, I don't know, that almost focus more on the celebration of life and the celebration of men's health, and don't pull on the heartstrings and don't do all this thing. You know, at the same time, we're talking about a mate who had a mustache, you know, a mutual friend who had a mom. And it was about that, you know, facial hair and trends, and, you know, because we were dealing with trends, right? In anything to do with streetwear, fashion, the rag trade, you know, selling products, you know, trends are a big deal. So, you know, I was like, wow, have you ever grown a mo? And he's like, no. And I was up in Canada, and I was like, wow, facial hair is such a thing up there, you know, and it's just not here in Australia. And, you know, we're like, all right, how long do you think it needs to take? So I'm like, a month, right? My birthday's in the last couple of days of November, and we're going to have a party. So, you know, we turn around, we'll call it November. It's like, all right, cool. And you've got to remember, this is the beauty of it. The beauty, the pure simplicity of the idea. It's not a government-driven organization. It's not a, you know, sort of, you know, initiative from some place that needed to raise money or try. You can't create these things. You know, I get dragged into briefing meetings all the time now going, create another Movember or do this. And I'm like, I can't, because all you people are sitting in the room. And that's not being disrespectful. That things don't come from, you know, or else you're just going to end up with another, you know, government initiative that's kind of soulless and heartless and just moving money around, right? So I wanted to create this thing where, and look, whenever I say I just think of lucky as well, right? You know, we want to create this thing that is more on lines of a brand that we love and we aspire to, but our product's men's health and talking. So long story short, we get this thing, it's going to take a month, and that day we started with the list of what we would never become. And that's, I still, you know, a little bit of naivety. If you knew what we were about to embark on, about challenging tradition, challenging, you know, big establishments around the world, governments, you know, getting, we honestly thought we could get every guy on the planet to grow a mustache, and we could get every guy on the planet to think differently about the way they deal with their health.
Well, you're getting pretty close, 6 million people.
We're having a crack.
When you say, I love that, you almost set yourself a wish list to say, where would we love to see this grow? Mm. But surely even, you know, the most absurd sort of wish list out there would never, ever in your wildest dreams think 17 years later you'd raise over $1 billion and be over 25 different countries. Like, that's just kind of next level stuff. But even back in those early days when you had those visions, what were your first sort of realistic goals? You obviously thought, well, how about we just try and raise money for prostate cancer, which is obviously your first initiative or your first sort of foundation. And then I think, how quickly did it grow? And at what stage did you think, hang on a second, this is going to be pretty big?
It's like a rocket ship taking off, basically. It's I try not to look back, to be honest. It's not about me, it's not about lucky. This is about men's health. So, and you know, the state of men's health at the moment and suicide numbers are just not acceptable in any way, shape or form. So, you know, I try not to look back, but anyone that gets to this point in their careers or I don't know, have done this and that says, yeah, it was well planned out and very strange, just call bullshit on them. Right?
I think I asked you this same question. That was your answer at the time, of if you'd ever known it was going to become this big.
No, you never do. And the list was almost a polar opposite. It's like what we don't want to become. You know, it was never, you know, and that through... you know, I used to get paid good money to go around the world to clean up brands that were just messy. And it was just like, what a waste. Is the marketing and branding and all that. It's just a waste of money. And I just wanted to protect the idea and the nucleus of the idea from that. So we went simple and almost like, let's not do that whilst we blow the hell out of this.
And then, Trav, it initially was mainly prostate cancer. When did the mental health and suicide prevention aspect of the charity start? Because, you know, for me personally, that's what I think Movember is really about at the moment. I think especially with 2020 and the year we've had, and tragically we're seeing rates of suicide go up. But did you have a personal interest in mental health and suicide prevention, and when did that come into the charity?
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, the prostate cancer thing was by chance. I don't have prostate cancer in my family. I'm extremely lucky at that point. And, you know, I remember going, you know, we're having massive parties and doing all this kind of crazy stuff and taking a very backward kind of irreverent approach to raising money and talking about our health, right? And everyone would used to come up to me going, you know, prostate cancer is an old man's disease and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? We're all going to be old men one day. And, you know, so that to me wasn't a big issue. You know, the tagline and what we stand for is men's health, first and foremost. Mm. From mo to toe, we used to say, and everything in between. And it was only starting to do Movember that we realized a lot of the younger guys that were affected by cancer were testicular cancer. All right, Hugo. And it was that we went, wow, okay, this is, and obviously testicular is not as kind of as, should I say dangerous as prostate cancer? Anyway,
it doesn't have such a poor prognosis.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Izzy.
Yeah, that's, get that all the time, Trav, when Izzy comes in and has all the doctor terminology.
Yes. Makes me, that's why I surround myself with good people, right? And then it was literally, I think it was 2006 or 2007, it was mental health and suicide prevention. And that's something that is really close to my heart. I went to a good boys school here in Melbourne with Lucky and my brother, who was a CEO for a long, 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 long time. And, yeah, we lost a lot of mates along the way, to be honest. You know, this is, I was sort of, you know, maybe early 90s. Hugo, you were 4, I think.
Most likely.
And, yeah, and that was a real challenge. You know, it was a real challenge to find your first suicide note and bury your first mate. That's something that no one ever should ever have to do. And it's funny because we're at the funerals, you know, and lo and behold, however many months later, I'm at the guy's funeral that was sitting beside me. Mm. And just repeat that scenario a couple more times, and it was just crazy. And you know, another happy accident of Movember was that I had, again, being a little bit naive to how this all works, you know, cancer and mental health go hand in hand. And that's when it was apparent that, you know, and again, hey, right from the start, this was about creating conversations, right? Getting guys to talk. The mustache is our badge. It's our ribbon. It's our walking, talking billboard. It's the catalyst for conversation. So the original goal was not to set out to raise $1.2 billion. I almost kind of shied away from that when people used to tell me that we'd hit those numbers eventually. And this was about getting guys to talk. Mm-hmm. And mental health and conversations are so, you know, strategically linked, as well as many other things and fitness and all that kind of, you know, exercise and stuff. So it was purely that. That's kind of the storm in a teacup.
Yeah, it's interesting, Trav, and you mentioned the word linked there, and you're spot on. And coming from someone who's unfortunately had a couple bouts of cancer, testicular and bowel cancer, and then also as a result of that, battles with my mental health and depression and the like, you know, I've got no doubt that they're linked, and people who have gone through cancer, a lot of them post-cancer can then get the impacts of, say, mental health. And I think that's, I love when you said the toe-to-toe, it's the overarching theme of men's health. It's very powerful.
And I also think, as you said, mental and physical health are linked. If we look at some of the reasons why men have poorer health than women, it's not genetic causes. You know, men, you know, there's this culture of men not wanting to ask for help. So that extends to not wanting to go to the doctor. You know, there's a culture of men not wanting to show weakness or vulnerability. So that's, you know, men, when something doesn't feel right, not wanting to go to the doctor. You know, men, this culture where men can't express emotions apart from, you know, bravado or anger. So, you know, they're keeping all these things inside. So they are so linked to both our mental and physical health. And I think, you know, you said about changing cultures and conversations. And to me, that's something I really foresee now with, you know, the where we're going with mental health is looking at those attitudes and cultures, because, you know, our mental and physical health are so linked, and there's no genetic reason why men should be having worse health, and it's those, you know, much more complex issues.
No, it's, I mean, you know, I hear it a lot and you see it a lot, and just listening to you talk, Izzy, it's kind of like, you know, I think it's easier for men to go and ask for help or go to the doctors and get checkups when there's nothing wrong, right? It's like someone said to me many years ago, oh, I need to lose some weight before I go for a run. Well, that's an oxymoron.
The amount of patience,
like, you know,
the amount of patients that say that exact same thing to me.
Yeah, and you know, I could see, excuse my terminology, the biggest person in the world running on the running track. I've got nothing but admiration for that person. I want to yell out, you know, good on you. You're doing something about it. I've struggled with some weight over the years. You know, we've all been challenged at times, and in lockdown, I've started really running, you know, and because I got an hour out, and I had to use that to the best of my ability. And, you know, the feel good of just sweating it out and whatnot.
This is a dodgy topic. I could go on for hours now talking about the mental health benefits of running, so I'm not going to delve in there.
I know you could. Could you tell I'm a runner?
I can tell just by this Zoom chat. Now, Trav, obviously, what has made Movember so amazing is that it's a fun charity, a charity that people want to be involved in. You know, they're proud of being a Mo bro or a Mo sister. I'm sure there is a lot more behind the scenes and a lot of complexity. You know, Hugo and I are ambassadors for the charity, so we know a little bit. But this Movember grew so rapidly. Obviously, we don't have too much time, but can you give us a bit of an explanation of some of the, you know, difficulties of a charity growing so quickly? And because now there's, you know, there's boards and there's directors, and just a little bit of a synopsis of, you know, that rapid growth in such a short period of time.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's I mean, we were at the right age, huh? And we had the right skill set between like a couple of us that could do this. And, you know, when you're that, I don't know, when you're that starry-eyed to just change the world, not that we actually didn't, that sounds a bit too much. We were just going for it, right? We're just absolutely going for it. And we embraced everything within reason. And when, you know, when people in Spain or France, Germany, the Netherlands, you know, Finland, you know, Rotterdam, Amsterdam, Copenhagen, when people in those cities go, I'm doing Movember, I want to do it. We do not have the right to say no, you can't, because we're tired, or we can't you know, kind of extend ourselves anymore. Like, they want to just raise money and look after themselves, and that's why that was the whole, you know, the fundamentals of this thing. And it's not a charity in my eyes; it's a movement. I think charity is a toxic word; it's a horrible word. You know, not for profit says it all. And we just embraced it, so we went for it, and we spent all our money doing it, and we just had the energy. But like I said, it's like being strapped to a rocket ship and just taking off, you know. I didn't have any grey hair before my
And then
if that's something, if you can get a visual, I'm actually 24 years old. Look at me. And 24 then, years in November.
Well, and the snowmo's coming along there. Well, Trav, I like
it is. It's getting less and less. I'm less and less hairy as I get older.
But it's interesting you say that, you know, the rocket ship just took off. And obviously year after year it got bigger, more money raised, more Mo bros and Mo sisters got on board eventually, where it's like, well, there's lots of females that, you know, men's health impacts too. Let's get them on board. Then it was more than just the Mo. Then you got the move for Movember, and everyone's getting out and about, like Izzy's of the world running bloody marathons, and our good mate Dan Price last episode running 126Ks coming up, and all these amazing initiatives that just every year gets bigger and better, and all these brainstorming, and you being the global creative director is obviously a big part of that. But then I suppose coming to 2020, after the transformation, the journey you've gone through over the 17 years to just continue to grow this Movember to different countries and amazing initiatives. The slogan this year, I suppose, is the most important Mo you'll ever grow. And I think it's so important that the year that we've all had and all the Movember meetings that Izzy and I have been a part of, and the general consensus and the theme is just like, this year is why Movember exists. This is why we exist, with the connection and getting people to talk about this stuff. So I suppose from your side of things, Trav, how have you found the preparation, if you want to call it that, and the campaigning for this particular year?
Well, just to take it back, like you know, everything we ever did was to was fundamentally, how can we get guys to come back every year and grow a mustache, right? We all know the difficulties and the itchiness and whatnot. So it was always planned about how can we encourage people to, we just don't want to be pink ribbon and plaster the country, you know, the world pink. If we do that with mustaches, everyone will be just so tired. There'll be so much mustache fatigue. So, you know, there is method to our madness every time. And then when you go, I was always looking at professional athletes, skateboarders, going, wow, there's professional kids that are really loose because of their sport, but they're professional. So, you know, or you've got these kind of, you know, athletes that can just lose, you know, the party takes them, the party gets them rather than the sport. And that's why I wrote in, we're going to be transparent. We're going to be accountable. You know, Luke and I honestly thought we could get it down to zero cost to fundraising ratios because of our sponsors, right? We weren't going to, 100% of money was going to go through to our beneficiary partners. Then the GFC hit, right? And all our big money just kind of, you know, started to really come back to being a bit more realistic to match the world, you know? So you start a board of directors, you start a global scientific committee, you know, you get all these people around you because I know where my skills start and stop. And I just wanted to make sure that we were absolutely accountable and all the right money went through. Now, so you fast forward that to 20 years and it is the most important mustache you'll ever grow. I mean, every year is, right? But this one's just, like we said before, is either mental health, when a guy loses his job or, you know, a relationship breakdown, it can start to spiral. You know, the weight might start coming on. It's harder to get off the sofa. It's harder to get up and actually go and buy good produce and start cooking good meals rather than, you know, Deliveroo. Or
social isolation, like not that. Being able to have a beer with your mates on a Friday. It's been an absolute recipe for poor mental health this year.
So that is, you know, Movember's got an amazing community around the world. We've got very loyal followers and supporters, and it doesn't mean you always have to grow a mustache. So we're very fortunate, and you're right, there's never been a better year for I don't know if this is going to be disrespectful or wrong to say, but it's these kind of moments in life that Movember was almost designed to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our time, you know, and Movember's more relevant than ever today. And I honestly believe that. And I honestly believe we've only started, guys.
No, I love it, Trav.
We've got a long way to go.
It's so true. And I can't wait to see where, the next 20 years is going to go to. And, you know, one thing I think is worth noting too, and for people listening, obviously fundraising and money, of course, it's a massive, massive component. But like you touched on earlier, Trav, at the end of the day, the conversations and the awareness in why this Movember started and what it stands for. And I think it can be particularly difficult for people who financially are struggling to, just like in previous years, putting those $100 donations and donating to their family and friends. But I think it's worth noting that it's not all just about the money going to donating. It's all about the awareness as well and the conversations.
Yeah, it's a hard one, right? This is kind of the shitty thing about humans. We just need a number. Something, you know, give us a number, you know, anything, you know, it's numbers, but it's how we can kind of measure, and it's how they got numbers guide us through life. So the money raised is very easy to put a figure on it. You know, we raise X amount, you know, you spend X amount. And it's a struggle. I've been in board meetings for a decade going, how do you quantify awareness? How do we put a figure on awareness? Every person that has a conversation, you could do some amazing marketing spin and come up with a bunch of weird numbers. But I don't know. The thing with with this is that the conversations and, you know, all you can do is go, I know, just being a part of this thing for so long, that guys are better at everything at the moment. Not everything. Guys are better with their health.
I've done Movember now.
Last year.
Yeah, since 2012. And I've definitely noticed a change in culture. Mm. And if there's one silver lining of 2020, I hope it's that people feel more comfortable to say they're struggling and they need support.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you said, this is what Movember is made for.
And I suppose, Trav, looking back at this amazing journey that you've set out to achieve, and, you know, I think I messaged you the other day when I was looking into it and I said, you must, buddy, be so proud just sitting back there. But I mentioned to ask you, I don't know if there's one thing or if this is a silly question, but what is sort of the biggest thing, you know, you're proud of, or something looking back when you kind of sit back down with a nice little glass of whiskey where you think, you know what, fuck me, I'm proud of that.
I did start drinking whiskey during lockdown purely because the guy I was with, he's like,
is that what
hey,
you're most proud of?
Hey, it's up there. No, you know, it's, I don't know. I can't say for one thing. You know, I did a podcast the other day and I was saying just, you know, I'm so proud when I see the Mo Bros and Mo Sisters around the world. Just that to me is, you know, just takes my breath away. And, you know, Hugo, it's getting text messages like you did, sent me the other day. It's that, you know, like I said, I don't look back. I'm a creative, right? It's like whatever I did today is done. Yes, it's out the window. It's old news. And I'm just focused on the future. Maybe that's right, maybe it's wrong, but it sort of keeps me going. So, you know, when I hear introductions like this or getting text messages from you, just random crew, or, you know, my dad just going, fuck, I'm just going to get a checkup, or I did this, or my uncles are up in Darwin, right? Just hard human beings, you know, and when they're getting checked out, you know, and going voluntary, you know, to check, you know, they're dealing with their own health. They're extremely proud moments. And I don't know, I'm just every day I'm kind of blown away and humbled, you know, into my shell again of, you know, what's happening in the world. I really am.
I just absolutely love that, Trav. And, you know, personally, I want to thank you for the impact Movember has had on my life. I never, you know, acknowledged the grief I had for losing my dad or could really express my emotions either. And we talk about Movember being a men's health charity and men bottling everything up. It's a big stereotype, you know. Women do a lot of that too. And I think these conversations and the change in cultures and attitudes around mental health in men are definitely having a flow-on effect in women. So I think the amount of people you have influenced in a positive way would just be far beyond comprehension. You know, you've completely changed my life and Hugo's as well. So anyway, thank you. So thank you. And yeah, it's just such an amazing charity.
Thank you. I mean, it does, the shitty thing, the thing that sucks, right, is that we are male only focused. And if every, you know, it, men's health affects everyone around them, boys, girls, and same with women and their health. You know, it's also strategically linked. And we're not, you know, I don't know, if we're from Venus and Mars, then I don't know. I think Venus and Mars are really close together these days in orbit. And, you know, I got into this thinking men don't care, men don't talk. And it wasn't true. That's not true. Men care just as much, but the way it's expressed is totally different, or the volume of where they speak and how they speak is not so clear and precise and direct. And, yeah, so, it's really... it's difficult to kind of bang on about men's health when, you know, or talk about men's health during this pandemic. It's everyone's health, right? It's just the fact that we're a men's health charity that I've got to say that.
Trav, as we start to wrap up, and you said one of the proudest moments was, you know, your dad or your uncles looking after their health and well-being. A question that we ask all of our guests is something that they do for their health and well-being, and almost set us a challenge. So, you know, it could be something simple like don't use your phone in the first hour that you wake up or something. But do you have something you do for your well-being that you could challenge Hugo and I to try and do for the rest of the week?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to, two parts. Something that I get up every morning and I practice transcendental meditation. And I get out and I'm not a runner, right? I'm not. you know, and but I'm forcing my, no one should start running at
47. I would disagree and say everyone can be a runner. Yeah, so there's no absolutely such thing as not being a runner.
Yeah. Well, hey, when I'm surrounded by bloody Nike ambassadors, I've got to say that. I just got to be really specific, you know, because Kieran will get me, you know. So I just try and, you know, I read that 5 a.m. club, you know, a long, 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 long time ago, and having a bit of a structure and a system to my mornings has just been absolute, you know, blessing to how I do so much and can produce and do so much. But that's not my challenge to you guys. I also have a really good friend of mine called Maddo who started this movement, Get Onto Instagram, and it's called Tell Your Friends You Love Them. And him and his mates had a bunch of mates that basically all through brain injuries and aneurysms, you know, they lost a lot of mates quickly and unexpectedly. And that, you know, their message to the world is to tell your friends you love them. And I'm challenging you guys, the two of you, to spend the next week telling your friends that you love them in any way, shape or form. But it's hard, right? It's really, it kind of can start, you can struggle. Some people, it's like, you know, so me and my mates now, it's love you, buddy. Love you, mate. See, I love you. And, you know, it's just go and spread the love because you never know what's going to happen. And life can deal some really shitty quick cards that can get you before you realize. So that's my challenge to you guys.
I love that, Trav. I really do. I think it's very powerful that you never know the little simple text message or a few little simple words saying, like you said, love your mate, thinking of your mate, you know, those little things which seem small, you never know how it can impact someone. So I'll be absolutely doing that. You know, I think it's, in a way, I kind of try and connect with people that I haven't heard from in a while, but I'll be making sure that specifically to my mates who I'm already close with, just letting them know that, mate, I love you, and I'm sure is you'll you'll get on board that. And for our listeners too, we like them jumping on board. So for those listening right now, and you know you've got a couple mates or some friends that, you know, you love, but you may have not told them that. As Trav said, his little weekly challenge is tell your friends you love them. So it's a really, really lovely way to sort of close out that that challenge, Trav. And look, it's been an amazing chat, Trav. I think it's Izzy and I are both such proud ambassadors for Movember. And at the same time, although we knew some of the origins with Movember, it's kind of when it comes from you and hearing your journey with that, from why you started it those 17 years ago to where it is now, it's truly phenomenal. And for people listening that want to find out more about, say, where their fundraising goes, where the money's going this year, and over 1,250 sort of programs being funded, medical research and the like, you can go to Movember.com. And it's what I love with Movember, Trav, is that you're very transparent with things. You don't try and make it all difficult to delve through. You're kind of transparent with where the money goes, and that's what I absolutely love. But before we do go, is there one sort of final messaging that you just want to finish off to sort of touch up your thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the simplicity is making sure that this is easy and keeping it simple. It can be complex in its simplicity, right? But at the end of the day, we're simple creatures, us men. So I've got to keep it simple. And the difficult part of it is when you're doing so much between the three sort of causes or diseases, you know, that is hard to sort of get out there at rapid fire when you're limited with the charitable movements, you know, of trying to get all the things that we do out there. So, and my you know, it's not too late to register. It's not too late to donate. Whether you're moving, you know, or growing a mow or both or hosting or mowing your own way, which is new for 2020. 2020 didn't play by the rules, so either are we, you know, we're coming back at you. And yeah, making sure that you, that registration, man, like we can use that. That's like an online petition. We can challenge the world. We can take those numbers and those, you know, those names and really start to push it. Again, remember, the bad thing about humans, we need a number. So the bigger the number with registrations, the more damage I can do to tradition.
I love that, thinking of it as a petition for this is how many people are caring about men's health and mental health. Mm. And, you know, the doctor in me that works for the government is thinking, yes, that, you know, we need to hear that. And unfortunately with health, we're very reactive. And we can't because we're having, it's not working. Too many people are dying from cancer. Too many people are suiciding. We need to jump 5-10 steps back. And that's where Movember is changing cultures. And, you know, changing cultures is hard because there's no number. It's not this is how many surgeries we've done. And so that's why I think, you know, this work that we're doing is so important because it's looking at, as you said, we are just starting. There is so much work that needs to be done. And, you know, I think Hugo and I, what are we? We're both turning 30 in the next year or so. Hopefully we'll be still going at this when we're 50.
No, I love that, Izzy. Really do. And I think just to finish up then what you were saying, Trav, and I think it's important for people to remember this too, if they haven't signed up or if they have. I had a mate over the weekend, almost embarrassingly say, he was growing a mo and he was doing it for X reason, and he's kind of almost embarrassed to say, oh, I've only raised $85 and I've tried to put a few posts out. And you could tell he was almost a bit uncomfortable in saying that. And I think that could stop people from starting an account because they think, I'm not going to raise those thousands of dollars. But I said to him, like, mate, you growing that mo, us talking about this now, you raising that $100, I'm like, that is amazing. I said, you shouldn't sell yourself short for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talk about zero fundraisers at work, right? So it's like, imagine if that's 6 million or however million, 6 million, I question because everyone I know doesn't register. If everyone raised a buck, right? A couple of bucks, that's all it takes. That's a stupid amount of money that we can go then, you know, hand over and change the world. So, you know, $85, stop it. That's a lot of money. You know, I'm proudly donate to myself every year because I'm too scared to ask another billion people.
No amount's too small.
A dollar.
Mate. No amount's too small. So, no, that's if you're listening to that, amount's too small. So, Trav, once again, mate, it's been an absolute privilege to get the, as we said at the start, Movember royalty, the Movember founder, and the man behind this amazing, amazing sort of foundation that you've set out to achieve. So you should be very proud, mate, and it's been an honour to have you on episode 10 of Behind the Uniform.
I look forward to a dance at next ambassador party.
Well, hey, the last thing I'm going to say is that I love you guys, huh?
And, yeah.
We love you too.
As your weekly challenge goes, Trav, love you too, mate. Can't wait to catch up soon.
All right, thank
you,
guys.
See you, mate. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Hugo, can you believe a couple of mates, a chat at a pub, and the conversation we just had?
I know. It is crazy because it's, you know, just even chatting to him then, and like we've always been such a massive part of Movember, but it's kind of hearing the story from him and going through it, you think like that's pretty phenomenal. Just this random sort of, what should we do? Let's grow a mo, let's bring the mo back, and here they are 17 years later.
And I think that's a great story for anyone listening of dream big. If you've got ideas, you know, don't be afraid to give it a go. I love the quote, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And, you know, a couple of guys with an idea and look what's happened.
I know. And he's such a, he's such a humble, modest, awesome guy. You know, he's just even now talking about these things about, you know, controversial things that he might sell, where he sees Movember even going from now. I think that's probably credit to him and why it's probably been so successful. But a couple of those big messages that I just wanted to, touch on and rehash is that the concept of why people get involved with Movember. And I think sometimes we can lose sight of that. We can lose sight of growing that mole or running those Ks. But as Travis touched on then, it's for men's health. It's for those people, 7 men a day that are ending their own lives. And that's ultimately why we're sitting here, why we're doing this podcast, why we're Movember ambassadors, why I'm growing this little CD Mo. It's why we're doing all this stuff.
For me personally, I never forget what it's all about during the month of Movember because it's the anniversary of my dad's death this month. And I can remember every, you know, training that we would do with my Mo Bros in Hobart. The last training would often fall on, you know, that day, and I would have a chat with the guys and say, you know, how special it was to me and what it was all about, you know, so less people like me grew up without a dad. And it is, that's what it's all about. When I do my, corporate chats, I say, I'd forgive you for thinking it's just a bunch of hipsters, you know, growing a moustache and having a laugh. But at the end of the day, it's to stop men dying.
But you know what is, and it's interesting you say that, like I've known you for a bit now and I always learn so much from you and sometimes I forget that side of your story and your personal story and your link to Movember is because you're a doctor and you've accomplished so much in your professional career and you know so much amazing things about men's health. But then to kind of be reminded the fact that, well, hang on, you know, young Izzy growing up actually lost her dad, your dad, to cancer, and growing out without a father would be extremely difficult. And you mentioned the other day to the little Mobro community group we've got how this month can actually be a bit challenging for you sometimes because you get sometimes the triggers about your dad and talking about it. And, you know, I think we got to look after ourselves too. And for you, it can be a bit of an emotional month.
Yeah, I always need to kind of mentally prepare for the month of Movember. I love it, but it does take a toll. I am sharing my stories and hearing other people's stories, you know, talking to the other ambassadors, and that stuff is quite draining. Even this podcast, you know, we've been talking about mental health and suicide. These are heavy topics and they do take a toll. So, and in the past, I don't think I was as good as looking after myself, but I've hit the low of the bottom of burnout and I don't want to go back there again. So I'm much better now of being aware of, you know, how I'm going, checking even with myself, saying no to so many, you know, chats or commitments. Because I want to keep doing this for another 20 years and I don't want to, you know, burn the candle at both ends and say it's too much.
Well, that's it as well. And also being being open, honest and vulnerable, which I love those three words. And, you know, previous guest Gus Wallen talks about that. And
I was like, where did they come from? That sounds familiar.
Open, honest and vulnerable. But it's so true. And there'd be times we'll communicate to each other and we're quite good with this now where you would say, you know, geez, I've had a crappy week, or I've just, you know, just seen my psychologist and really had a bad day, or can we postpone this podcast? And quite often you end up apologising and say, oh, sorry, I haven't been, you know, as present the last couple of days, or I'm sorry, you know, to your Instagram followers, I haven't put a post up. And I, the first thing I always say to you is, Izzy, stop apologising. You've got nothing to be sorry for. And it's exactly what we sort of practising what we preach. It's the whole concept of if you're struggling, if you're having a bad day, week, month, reach out to your mates, your family, let them know you are having a bit of a down day or a down week and be open to them and talk about it.
And as you've said, I have been comfortable to do that with you. And that's something I've learned through Movember. As I said, we make these very big stereotypes of what men and women are like. You know, men bottle everything up. They can't express their emotions. And as if women have, you know, programmed into their DNA that they're really comfortable with all these hard chats as well. You know, for me, Movember has taught me that it is okay to express my sadness for my dad dying, even though it happened a long time ago. It is okay to express that I'm struggling, I just can't do this today. So, yeah, and I think something I love about Movember is every year I learn more. And I think as the charity progresses and, you know, it's more, at the start it was, you know, novelty checks, and I've been doing it since 2012. It was very different back then. Now, we're getting into those more complex messages, looking at the cultures and attitudes that are meaning that there's higher rates of suicide and men don't get their health looked after as much. So, yeah, I think every year I grow with Movember.
No, it's so true. And it's what Travel's just saying in today's episode, which I loved hearing him say at the end there. He said, it's like a taking off on a rocket. It's absolutely just exploded since he started this 17 years ago with his mate Lucky. But he said he's excited now for what's next. You know, what's the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years is going to set out to achieve. And I think being proud ambassadors, I think that's, I'm pretty excited to be part of that journey to think it's so true. Every year it's getting different and bigger and new initiative, and we can help take that to bigger and better things.
I think about, I do Movember for my, you know, future sons or my nephew, because I don't want them to struggle in silence. I don't want them to be, you know, have a testicle lump and be too embarrassed to go to the doctors, all of those type of things.
Exactly.
Now, enough about me. Hugo, I want you to tell me, since you've been doing Movember, have you had a moment that you think has been, you know, stands out as being the most meaningful or really reminded you of this is why I do this?
Yeah, look, good question is, I actually haven't probably been asked that question before, but I probably have a couple off the top of my head. And the first being, I think what got me sort of into Movember was when I was going through chemotherapy during my testicular cancer days and I couldn't grow a mo because of the chemo and having no hair and my dad...
Oh my God, I'm so naive. You have told that story so many times on the podcast and I didn't put two and two together. You couldn't grow the mow because of chemotherapy.
Because of the chemo, not because I just simply can't grow a mow.
Because I never got it because you've got this really good moustache now. By the way, listeners, I used to be an oncology registrar, so that's pretty embarrassing that I didn't put that two and two together.
No, that was the main reason is that I lost all my hair, my eyebrows, and obviously I couldn't then grow a mow. And it coincided with this, and then so my dad, he got on board and supported Movember.
With the snowmow
and raised some money almost, for me. And then basically, ever since then, we've done it together since. I've just done it. But that's kind of a very special moment, I think, and it touches on the whole support, connection, and the fact that, there's my dad growing a mow for his son who's going through cancer, which I think is very special. And ever since then, that's really just bonded me for my dad and Movember as a whole. But then the other things for me, and we're touching on it kind of in this episode, is when you feel like your mates, actually taking something out of this too, and my story in the month. And last year was a pretty proud moment after I went through my bowel cancer journey. And I'm looking around, I've got 20 or 30 old schoolmates all growing these mows, all raising money, all getting around me, supporting me, generating these conversations, connection, and we raised almost $60,000. And it was just this proud moment for me to look around to think, I've kind of had that impact on them.
And the ripple effect that would have.
The ripple effect. And since then, we're now just so close. If one of them have a lump or a bump or something's going on, they feel comfortable enough in talking about it. So I think they're probably interesting enough, the start of my Movember journey and then where I was sort of last year into now is, like you said, that ripple effect of the influence and hopefully you have on people close to you like your mates.
And I think for anyone listening, that is so powerful that you express some vulnerability to someone or reach out and ask them if they're okay. You don't know the impact that's going to have of, and I often talk about, for me, Tommy Windsor, almost 10 years ago said to me, Izzy, even though your dad died a long time ago, you're still allowed to have sadness and grief for that. And every year I email him and go, oh my goodness, Tommy, thank you so much for, everything you've done for me. And he's like, Izzy, it was just the one chat. But those few words have had a completely profound impact on my life. So, I don't think we can ever, we can never underestimate the impact of a few conversations and a little bit of vulnerability. And, personally for me this year, my cousin who is a farmer and, there's very high rates of mental illness and suicide in rural Australians and farmers. He listened to the podcast and it inspired him to do Movember for the first time. And he opened up to me that he had an incident at the station where someone died. And he developed very severe anxiety and I would call an adjustment disorder afterwards. And our podcast, inspired him to do Movember.
Love it.
And then halfway through the month, he shared that experience that he had. And he had never openly, publicly shared that.
Wow.
And he talked about how he got through. And he said, he was worried he wouldn't make it, really at the lowest of lows. But he had a couple of mates that would come and just hang out with him each day. They didn't need to be having deep and profound chats and having all the answers. They just showed up for him. So to me, that is just so powerful.
Love it.
Of, a chat that Tommy Windsor had with me that inspired me to express myself. We've now making this podcast that inspired my cousin. He's, shared a Facebook post with all of his mates who are, about as Aussie ochre as you can get. Sam, if you're listening, no offense. And I guess it. And that's, this is not money. None of that costs anything. It's just the connection, the conversations and how powerful they are. I need to stop talking. I'm going to get a little bit teary. But to me, that's what Movember's all about. And you've had that with your mates. And
no, it's really special, Iz. And thanks for sharing that because you're right. I think it puts, context into behind us and being real people. And then also behind Movember as a whole. It's this massive foundation. But there are these real people who it impacts and changes their lives. And I think, you're a prime example of that, Iz. You're an amazing doctor, got a amazing professional career, but then behind that, behind your uniform, you've got your own story with your dad and your family and your cousin and connecting with people like that and the reasons why you're proud to be part of my Vember, and I'm exactly the same. And so hopefully people listening can kind of get a bit more of an insight to that. It's Izzy and I are normal people. We're just everyday people that are passionate about these topics and these conversations, and that's what's given us so much, I guess, passion in this podcast. And we've really, really enjoyed the last sort of, you know, 10 weeks or so.
And as we say that, I think it's a good time to talk about, you know, we're wrapping up. This is our, you know, final 10th episode. We are so proud and happy and excited for the feedback we've had. We've learned so much about podcasting, definitely things that we will do better in the future and things that we will want to continue. But we're excited to make a second series and grow the podcast. So what are some of the things that we said we'd do next time?
Well, it's interesting because this has been a bit of a 10-part mini-series where it's been partnered with Movember, and it has been predominantly focused on mental health and men's mental health. So for those messaging us saying, you know, females and women and other sort of industries, well, there's a reason why this particular series went the way it did. That being said, as Iz just said, for future seasons and plans we have, Izzy just touched on her cousin then in the rural community. You know, we really want to, so I guess, expand the conversations and delve into the rural community, you know, the farmers out there, or, you know, delve into
other, like, fly-in, fly-out workers, construction workers.
Exactly right. Different avenues. And then absolutely we want to get some amazing inspirational female guests on the podcast and start to unpack and talk about these conversations. So I guess the motto of getting comfortable with the uncomfortable conversations, we just want to expand that more and grow more and sort of start touching on different areas, if that makes sense.
And my kind of dream and goal with this podcast was to provide people with education and actionable take home. So also wanting to get some experts, so hopefully some psychologists and other wellbeing experts, teaching people a bit more about, you know, mental health, because I think you and I are both so passionate about how much you can get from mental health professionals, which neither of us are. So expanding it to more than just, you know, guests and their own stories, but hopefully giving listeners some, you know, expert advice and interesting perspectives as well.
Exactly. And also everyday people. There's so many you guys listening right now, and all the messages we've had from these amazing listeners with stories of their own is to get some of you guys on the podcast too, and saying, you know, why can't we get Zoom going and chat to you guys and getting these episodes out there? So anyway, there's lots planned, lots of exciting things going on in future seasons and concepts of Behind the Uniform. We're excited to see where it goes. And Izzy, I've also got the other idea next year. I want to do a bit of a live, you know, hopefully post-COVID when we can, a bit of a live podcast with you and a guest, sort of in a, whether it be a lunch forum, a fundraising gala ball or dinner or something like that, where we can kind of...
I don't think you ever told me about this.
No, I haven't. I've just kind of just thought of it, and I've these ideas, which I think could be really cool. So stuff like that, getting out, travelling around, and we love the whole face-to-face interaction. So, but no, we really appreciate all your support through this sort of this 10-episode mini-series. And yeah, Izzy?
Yeah, it's been a big passion project, none of which have been possible if you guys hadn't tuned in and listened and shared and supported. And if you do love the episodes, the best thing you can do is, you know, share on your Instagram story, tag the podcast. That's how it's going to grow. And then we can hopefully make more episodes, get better at it, and, you know, have you guys get more out of it too. So thank you so much for all the support. I hope you have an awesome rest of your Movember. And yeah, we'll see you hopefully season 2.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone. And we'll hopefully talk soon.